Welcome to On the Verge. I am your host, Kara Bradley, bringing you those weekly blasts of no-hype advice, essential practices and strategies so that you can slow down and shift from busy to best, from frazzled to flow, from chaos to calm. How about that for some languaging? Welcome, everybody. Thank you once again for joining me. It is always a privilege and an honor to be on the other side of your ear, to be bringing you what is serving me, what I am rolling around in my head, what I am writing about in my journal. I don't take it lightly. I feel it is such a great honor to be able to share. And we all have so much to share with one another. We all have so much life experience that we can draw from and offer to each other. It is not some amazing feat to be able to sit behind a mic and share this. It just takes a little bit of courage to trust that what I have to say may land with you. And if you can have that kind of trust to recognize that what you have experienced and what you have to say can land and will land with others, boy, then we can all just be a hell of a lot freer to inspire and motivate and listen and acknowledge one another. So today I bring to you a message about tenderness. Recently I was with some friends of ours who live in our same apartment building, Jeff and Steph, and we just got together for a simple drink and a hello. And Jeff, who is this wonderful, gregarious leader, told us about how they, as a couple, had been doubling down on tenderness. Those were his words. We just need to double down on tenderness, he said. And he was talking about a recent sermon that he had given. He's not a pastor by profession, but he sometimes gets up to the podium and speaks. He's so eloquent. And as soon as he said those words, we need to double down on tenderness, I looked at him and smiled, and I said, oh my God, this is phenomenal. What a great expression, especially at this time of year, as I come to you right before Christmas, right before New Year's, right before Hanukkah, right before the pinnacle of the holiday season and the rush that we and the speed that we're all on. How about if we just double down on tenderness? And I said to him then and there, I said, that's going to be the title of my next podcast. And he smiled because he is a listener. So thank you, Jeff. And so he gave a fantastic sermon in Philadelphia at a church talking about the song from Otis Redding, you know, try a little tenderness. How about if we just try tenderness instead of outrage, tenderness instead of judgment? And so I've been sitting with it for the last few days, thinking about my own relationship with tenderness and what I can bring to you. And so in thinking about tenderness and defining it for myself, I look at it, it has this real visceral feel in my body. You know, tenderness isn't something I feel in my head, in my mind. It's something I feel below the neck. And anytime we can go below the neck and start to connect in with our body, our heart, or even our throat area, you know you're going to get down into some truth. And so for me, tenderness feels like a light touch. It feels like a soft voice, which is why my voice is a little bit softer today, because this isn't necessarily a motivational episode. It is more of an uncovering and an unfolding. So just naturally, our voices will get softer, slower. It's slower movement. Tenderness feels to me like moving more slowly, more deliberate action, and also space, more spacious. So a lighter touch, a softer voice, slower movement, and more space. That's just what tenderness feels like for me. How about you? Did you ever think about it? So one thing that has changed my life, one YouTube video, actually, it's kind of a corny and definitely very raw and unproduced video, which oftentimes are the best ones out there, is a video called Glasses of Empathy. And I'm going to put it in the show notes, and I encourage you to take the time, look at the details in if you're on the podcast app or whatever app you're on, or on my website, and look at this 5-minute video. And the base of this video, the crux of it, is that a guy is speeding through life. He is exhausted and tired and cranky, and it judges everybody that crosses his path, whether it be somebody who takes his parking spot or somebody that takes too long in the line in front of him ordering coffee. He judges, and you could hear his whininess, right? We all do it. And then he's given, in this flash of, magical fantasy, he's given these glasses, these sunglasses, and he puts on these sunglasses, and all of a sudden he is now seeing in front of everybody that is crossing his path a little label, like a little post-it note, with what they are suffering with in that moment. So he looks at the woman that is in line for her coffee, and she is grieving for the loss of her friend. And he looks at another guy who is suffering from addiction. And it goes on and on. And boy, oh boy, did that change my life. Because everyone that we meet, everyone that crosses our path, is dealing with something. Grief, loss, a health issue, a financial issue, a addiction or a mental health issue, or some kind of major tragedy or struggle. Life is suffering, said the Buddha. Life is suffering. We are all suffering through this full catastrophe, as Nietzsche said. So when we can just pause for a moment, and this isn't a downer, this is actually really, it opens our heart to offer more tenderness, to double down on tenderness. So take a look at this video and then notice, as you're speeding through life, as you're meeting people in stores, as you're greeting coworkers, take a moment to notice. You may not know what they're dealing with, and that's really not ours to know, but just notice the connection that you may feel towards them when you recognize that they are going through something right now. So I took some time to think about, if you looked at me, if you saw me on the road or in a store or somewhere in life, and you were able to read the post-it note on me, what might you see in any given moment that I was suffering with, that I was going through? So, one for sure, you may see that I am grieving the loss of my father. There's not one day that goes by that I don't have a moment, a little tear, a little heart swell, a little grief. So any given moment, I could be standing in line at Starbucks and you don't even know that a song came on and that wave of grief came over me. And there aren't many of us out there who haven't been touched by loss. So at any given moment, somebody is grieving. And if we just know that and notice that, it opens our hearts to offer some tenderness, to offer them some gratitude, some love. And I'm going to give you some suggestions on how to do that. Another post-it note you may see is my worry as a mother for my daughters, especially my younger daughter, who is in such transition right now in her life and is in such struggle. So you may see that, worrying about her youngest daughter. You may see that I am thinking about my mom alone at night. Just that, you know, that low-level worry that she's okay. Oh, this is hard. You may see that I'm just flabbergasted and exhausted from working a lot, from running several businesses, from managing people, from dealing with customers, from being concerned about elevated and heightening competition all around me. You may see that at any given moment, I feel inadequate as a speaker. I feel like I'm filled with doubt that I have the capacity to really be able to present on a large stage, to be able to really touch people en masse. You may see a post-it note that I've just been rejected from yet another proposal that I've put out there, yet another reach out to a prospect for a speaking gig or an opportunity to train an organization. And finally, you may see at any given time that I am heartbroken for the suffering of loved ones, of people in my life that are going through tough times. So that was a lot to share. Hope it wasn't oversharing, but, you know, from the outside, it could look like, oh, you know, Kara's got it all together. She got this podcast, she got the book, she has a businesses, she does speaking, but I carry my own suffering. So any one of us, big, small, public, private, rich, poor, does not matter. We are carrying around a heart filled with suffering, angst, and worry. So when we can recognize that, boy, does that stop us in our tracks. Just like that Glasses of Empathy film, that stopped me in my tracks. And I've not forgotten it 5 years now. And this is how we double down on tenderness. This is how we offer tenderness to others. Mr. Rogers, Mr. Fred Rogers, boy, what a incredible human being he was and still lives on. He says that three ways to ultimate success. Number one is to be kind. Number two is to be kind. Number three is to be kind. Can we be kind to ourselves and others? Can we offer a little bit more tenderness to ourselves and others? So this week I posted another mini win practice, a meta practice, loving kindness practice, where you repeat phrases to yourself. May I feel safe. May I be happy. May I have peace. May I be at ease. And also how to offer that to others, to not only loved ones, but also to those that you are just acquaintances with, to offer it to people that you don't like very much or are holding a grudge against, and also to all beings. This is how we generate this kindness, this attitude of tenderness in our being. And I'm going to tell you what, this isn't just a bunch of words, because when we do this and we do it daily and we do it often, we are generating feel-good neurotransmitters in our body. We are changing our neurophysiology. So this isn't just about a bunch of words. This is about changing our system, our operating system, from feeling lack and unworthy to offering up what we can, that gratitude and kindness to ourselves and others. And you could even hear it in my voice. It already just changed me. So a couple of ways that we can double down on tenderness. One is one of my absolute favorite practices, and I've talked about it before, and I learned it from my meditation teacher, Scott McBride of Clear Light Meditation. And it is this very sweet saying to yourself, "There, there, sweetheart. There, there, sweetheart." Just like your grandmother would pat your back if you were lucky enough to have that, or someone else, that unconditional loving person in your life to just give you that little kind support. You can put your hand on your heart and just say, "There, there, sweetheart. There, there." Now, when you do that to yourself, when you are feeling anxious, or you've done something silly or stupid, said something or dropped something or left something behind, whatever it is that you've done, and you offer yourself that tender saying, "There, there, sweetheart," it changes things. It really does. It is this loving kindness, this self-compassion that can shift your state, right? From busy to best, from chaos to calm. You can also offer, "There, there, sweetheart," to others. How about that? Somebody cuts you off. I was driving at the mall yesterday. OMG, right? I dropped a friend off, and it was chaos. It was literal chaos. Cars cutting off, cars pulling out of spots, people not even looking. And I was just thinking, this is freaking chaos right now. And it's in those moments, I didn't think it at the time because I wasn't in the right state of mind. But we can just think, "There, there, sweetheart. There, there, slow down. Slow down, sweetheart." Instead of getting your stress levels up and cursing or honking your horn, you can just say, "There, there, sweetheart. Come on, pay attention." So that's one way. Another way is this metta practice that I offered in the last episode, 136, called Be Kind. It's just this practice of offering yourself and others this loving kindness through these reminders, through these phrases. So when somebody is in a hurry in front of you, or somebody is gruff with you, you could simply think in your mind, "May you be happy. May you have peace. May you have peace." And doing that, it sends out this love and compassion. You know, they say that it's been said that, and I'm not sure if the Buddha said this or it was said that he offered this in a teaching perhaps, when somebody throws darts at you, at your heart, allow the dart to touch your heart and send it back out with flowers, right? So when you're feeling like you've been wronged, or somebody's wronged you, or just giving you bad energy, turn that around and send it back out with loving kindness, compassion, and flowers. And so you can say in your mind's eye, "May you be happy. Wow, may you be happy. You know, may you have peace. May you be free from suffering." And this is how we double down on tenderness. And then the last one is a heavy one. It's a big one. Not heavy. I would say it's a big one. It's powerful. And it's called Tonglen. Tonglen is a practice. It's a Tibetan Buddhist practice that awakens compassion within you. It awakens that tender loving kindness within you. And for me, it's been huge. I've been practicing Tonglen for years. And it softens, as Pema Chodron says, and I'm going to put some stuff in the show notes. Pema Chodron says it softens the armor around your heart. How about that? I think we could all use that. Softens the armor around your heart. And the basis of Tonglen is that you are going to breathe in someone's suffering. And you may not need to know it all. You don't need to have exactly what they're suffering with. But you breathe in someone's pain. And you breathe out spaciousness, love, and relief from that suffering. You breathe in someone's grief, and you breathe out someone's joy and happiness. A friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, who lost her son tragically last year, who I think about constantly, she said, you know, the only thing that worries her is that she's never going to feel the joy in her heart that she has felt before her son died. That is heavy. So if I could breathe out some joy for her, and she will feel it, I just trust that she will, then it makes me feel like I can contribute something to this huge loss in her life. I breathe in her grief, which is hard to do, let me tell you. It's every parent's nightmare. And I breathe out that joy that she so hopes she can feel again. Tonglen is a way, and we can do it on the spot. We can do it when we know someone is suffering, and we can just breathe it in, and it's hard because we are taking on their suffering, and breathe out our sense of peace and joy and happiness and relief that we experience. So I'm going to put a practice, a short practice, in the show notes with Pema Chodron. She is really the master of Tonglen in our lifetime. And I dare say, dare you to do this, especially around the holidays. It's a life changer. So this doubling down on tenderness, as my friend Jeff said, and as Otis Redding said, all you got to do is try a little tenderness. May we have the courage to do this. May we have the courage to step outside ourselves, to offer ourselves some compassion and some kindness. May we step outside our own suffering to offer it to others. And let me tell you, if we all just tried a little bit more tenderness, I can guarantee our world would be happier and brighter and lighter. So with that, I thank you. I thank you for listening all the way through. This was a long one for me, all the way through to the end. And as always, I look forward to engaging with you. Listen, I've got a bunch of these practices in my book, On the Verge. I have a whole chapter on Be Kind, on these kindness practices. I also have a bunch of these practices on my website. So check it out, carabradley.net. If I could say it, that would be great, carabradley.net. And join me on social media. I would love to engage with you there. I am doing more and more out there on mental fitness, everyone, talking more and more about how to train your body, your brain, and your biome, your microbiome, for mental fitness in 2020. So I am going to put a recording of a webinar I just did in the show notes. Check that out as well if you want to tune in to what I am doing. Thank you all for listening. Have a fantastic, tender day. Be well.